Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Radio Nova, the IBI, and funded by Comisú Numnyon with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Joined in studio tonight by Tracker Brain On. We're recapping, looking back at all the bits and bobs that happened over the year. An interesting year.
An interesting year is right, Greg. It's been. It was here this time last year. It seems like a long time
ago. Yeah, we're just talking. That's a year gone. Bang. Yeah. Blink of an eye.
Met an awful lot of people in that time.
You sure did.
It really did fly by. But I'm thinking back. I'm looking back at the different, because this was a new project for me. I mean, I didn't know much about, certainly about environmental issues this time last year. This was all new to me. So I was kind of, okay, let's kind of dip our toe into the water and see what it's all about. So refill stores, I started hearing about quite early. You know, we should go into a refill store, find out how that works, you know. So I went in and started, and they are beginning to pop up around the country. It's a tough gig for them because they're up against
the multinationals.
That stuff. So the refill store and the idea of it, that you go in and it's like the way that we keep our bags, and we got into that thing a few years ago. We keep the bags.
And we were good at that. We learned it quickly. I keep them in the boot all the time.
Yeah. And this is just about bringing it on to another level where you keep the hand soap dispenser and stuff like that. You throw them into the car when they're empty and you're just ready to fill them up every time you need to, nuts or whatever else that you have, and so cashew nuts and all
you're
that.
You're saving
kind of stuff.
A whole heap on packaging, aren't you?
You are. Yeah. You are. And but you're also doing something that's very good. You know, and there's a nice kind of feeling about it, you know, by getting involved with that. So refill stores, and that is something that you see popping up around the place. And it is, I suppose, the future shopping as well, because inevitably we were not going to have this soft plastic around all our products for years to come, because it has to stop. So you just think that that's the way supermarkets are going to have to go anyway. So
you're seeing a lot more cardboard and stuff in the supermarket. Yep, I know there's it's still a product problem on its own, but there is a lot of, what I can never get over is the amount of packaging that we go through. Two people in the house can go through an extraordinary amount of packaging. It really is so unnecessary. And then the word goes somewhere.
Yeah, and you're seeing the word biodegradable start to pop up in a few. Even some soft plastic, there's biodegradable options starting up there. So there was a lot of that. There was things like flour. I didn't know the carbon footprint of a bunch of flowers. And I'm a great man for buying my wife a bunch of flowers.
The Netherlands. A lot of them are grown anyway.
Even in the Southern Hemisphere. Yeah. There's a lot of them that come from the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, wow.
And they're being sprayed all the way as they're coming up here.
Yeah.
But the carbon footprint, it's from here to London in an airplane. You know, that kind of, for a bunch of flowers. It's on that level. So there are flower farmers all around the country, and there's people who are, you know, they're growing wildflowers, and they're growing their own, I suppose, their own kind of, you know, there's daisies, the old
wildflowers
daisies
look much better as well, don't they?
Fantastic. Just,
much cooler.
These are other options that I'm getting into now anyway, buying a lot more flowers. I'm buying the same amount of flowers, but just buying better. So there's that, there's eco-gardening, and I suppose it's kind of stuff that I was used to be a great man for spraying all sorts of things around the garden without thinking about it, you know? And then you start looking at, and now somebody's pointed this out to me during the year, there's these little symbols with, you know, fish and a line through it, and you're thinking, what's that mean? I know it's on the product, but it means it's not good for fish. Like, you know, you shouldn't be putting it in your own garden.
And
your kids are running around the place. You know, there's a lot of stuff you just simply shouldn't be using in the garden. So there was I picked up an awful lot about that, about how to be, I suppose, just kinder to the soil that you're using, kinder to the garden, and you'll get better produce of flowers and everything else if you keep that going throughout.
Speaking of flowers, one of the most important things in the garden, in the whole ecosystem, bees.
Bees. So,
and you know, we've just got bees. They're a nuisance. They're not wasps. They're a nuisance.
Yeah.
Bees are our friends.
So one of the first interviews I did was a beekeeper, because somebody said, I just thought, I have to get in, find out what this bee stuff is all about. Because no mo may, you hear that? You know, I wasn't quite sure why it's so important. So off I go, meet a beekeeper called Noel Kelly, and he says, right, we'll go over beside the bees here, and you'll get that nice in the background, the sound of the bees. And I said, all right, Jan. Yeah. There's thousands of these bees.
And had you got the suit on?
I'm in shorts and a t-shirt. Oh, I'm waiting for, you know, the sort of state pathologist gear to come out, you know, that we're going to be wearing that. Yeah. There was no sign of it. He says, you'd be grand. And we started chatting, and I'm there getting nervous, and he said, they're feeding. They won't go near you. So right enough, they didn't go near us. But it was, when he tells you about, you know, the role of the bees and how the whole thing works and how he keeps the group going and the queen bee in the role that she has and all that.
So important.
It's a fascinating. I mean, you could spend hours listening to that, you know, once you start scratching the surface at all. Yeah. So the bees, very interesting. Also, I suppose connected with that, what you'd be nice to your garden, eco-cleaning and the products that you're using in your house and stuff like that, what you're putting down the sinks to clean the sinks and stuff. And there's various other things like that I was coming across, like microgreens and things that you can grow in little sort of compost boxes that you can buy that get the juices from the compost and they collect them at the bottom. And that is as good, at least as good, as the most severe chemical that you'll put down the drain to clear the drain. This stuff, and it's completely natural and it'll clear the drain. So there's lots of other things, but a lot of the eco-cleaning is about using lemon and vinegar and things that, you know, maybe a generation before us might have used an awful lot more.
Many, many years ago, if you remember when people used to read comics and magazines and stuff, there would be ads, 100 things to do with vinegar.
Yeah.
And you can clean furniture with it. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. And these are all like natural things that we have.
Yeah.
Instead, we're going out and we're blowing fortunes on chemicals and you're told, wear heavy gloves and wear a mask if you're pouring this down your
bog. Ready to run away. Yeah, that kind of stuff. You
it's
know.
Explosive.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, and a lot of the stuff I suppose I learned as we're going along, it's more, it's not about kind of reinventing a way of life. It's kind of going back to the way that we did things, you know, or maybe the generation before us again did things where the butcher wrapped everything up in paper and you got your milk bottles and, you know, you weren't using soft plastic. So, you know, you could survive. All these things could happen without that, you know. But there is, I suppose, I started scratching the surface of the energy efficient home.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, we don't have solar panels or anything like that yet. Mm. Learn about it, you know, there's an investment involved here. Now there are grants available and we have a little bit from the SEAI, which we'll have on in a little while. But just the idea of just making sure that there's no cold air coming into your home, even just going around the windows.
Sealing
the place, little things that everybody can do. You know, there's lots of stuff like that you can do. But there's lots of information out there for people who want to make their home even more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Be that with solar panels and, you know, if you have an electric car and you can run the whole thing, you know, off one system. You know, I suppose there's lots of options there that I was learning about as we went along.
There's a whole new ball game, a whole new argument about electric cars. The jury kind of out on them. The petrol hybrids are probably the better way to go for the moment. You've got Mercedes backing away from electric cars, going back to combustion, and other companies, Toyota, getting into hydrogen.
Yeah.
And they're going, no, it'll be about 30% of the world market will be EVs. The rest will be combinations.
Yeah.
So again, we don't know. And until there's proper charging for cars in Ireland, I mean, I've people in Galway and they drive to Dublin, they've got to stop at Athlone on the way back and on the way up as well, because you won't get even a good car, an ID or whatever. I'm not going to name names in case we get ourselves into trouble.
Yeah.
But because it's the range anxiety people have driving cars. You're looking and you're terrified going, geez, I'm going to run out, you know,
or go into
the limp mode thing. So we don't have a network. So you can pull in, charge up your car, and on you go.
And you presume that that'll come. There'll be more and more points. But, you know, I don't know when that will happen or anything like that. But there's other little products that I came across that are coming onto the market, like Evax, which is a product which is basically, they do air conditioning for buildings, and they'll give you a car charger in one.
Wow.
So your hotels can have a load of who have a load of air conditioners. They run car chargers for the customers downstairs, but they can even charge a little bit for that.
Yeah.
So there's, and that's an Irish company in Kildare. They're doing that. And so there's things like that are happening. There's also the hydro-treated vegetable oil, which I didn't know anything about.
And the bus oil.
The bus oil. But I've seen lorries with it, and it says on the side going around. Yeah. I think it's Serta. Is that the company that I've seen on the side of the lorries? And it says this lorry is running on hydro-treated vegetable oil. So I haven't tried that myself. It's a little bit more expensive than diesel, and they're hoping that they won't have to pay the same taxes that diesel will have to pay, you know, because it's something like,
it's
90% less stuff going into the atmosphere from the hydrogen.
Well, then surely that has to be better from a revenue point of view.
Yeah, and maybe they just have to work out all the bits they have to work out there. I don't know what has to happen, but...
But it's like what you're saying, there's so many things going on. Like you started out... On this, you know, as everyone likes to call it, the journey.
Yeah.
And you're going, you're chatting to people and you're chatting about, and people are into little things like clothes. We're talking just off air about the younger people that are buying stuff.
Not us, Greg.
No, not us. But it doesn't, you buy tops. I have a daughter. What'd you get? I got this. It's worn once, worn twice.
Yeah.
It's binned. Something else is bought. We have to kind of re-educate everybody. So I'm talking about the same. We all wear the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
You've stuff at home in the wardrobe, but there are people that will take that and do what with it?
Yeah, yeah, and I suppose there's companies that will sell the stuff for you,
yeah,
and actually give you money back for stuff that you're not even using yourself, mm, that you've been sitting in the. So there's companies like that out there that will sell the stuff on. They will rent out clothes. There's all sorts of different options out there. Once you just scratch the surface a little bit, you can even, you know, there's companies that will rent out high-end dresses for women who want to go to some do, and they don't want to be buying, you know, paying a fortune.
Your designer dresses
that they'll only get to wear so many times because, you know, you can't go to too many do's in the same dress. So, but you can rent out this stuff. So there's lots of these options, and it's all about keeping stuff in the circular economy. Mm-hmm. And there's more and more, and there's like a toddler rental company that I met as well,
what?
My Little Wardrobe. And they just had this idea. They were buying all the stuff for their kids. So they thought, this is madness. Like the amount of money we're spending on clothes. So they have this rental. So you get a subscription. You have young kids. You get a subscription with them, and they keep the clothes coming to you, and it works out something like a third of the price that you'd be paying.
That's really smart stuff.
Simple ideas that just work very well. So there's lots of that kind of stuff. You'll find it all on nova.ie on the Irish Protect page because all the episodes are available on that. But even stuff like, there's another thing about getting rid of soft plastic, what to do with soft plastic.
Right.
A friend of mine who started, he had this idea and I don't know where, I used to see him do it and I was thinking, what are you doing? It's eco bricks. And the idea is you've got your, I have a plastic bottle here, which I refill regularly, no matter what brand is on it.
So we refill here as well.
Yeah, so he shoves all this soft plastic into it with a wooden spoon and he'll shove it down till it's really packed and there's a bit of weight in it.
Yeah.
And then he uses it on little building projects around the house or if he wants to, you know, he uses it, they're insulation bricks basically.
Sure.
And you put them into some sort of a building project and that's everything reused and it's free. You know, and he just stores them up over time and then he's ready to use them again. So there's various things like that. There's lots of people I've talked about upholstering your, and I think it's something maybe people start getting into with their furniture instead of buying the new couch and the nice room. The recreated
the restored stuff always looks better anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And you have a story to tell. And people are, you know, a little bit prouder about that bit.
And people are going online and there's all kinds of people helping you there. And there's loads of TV shows showing you how to do things without, you know, making an absolute bodge.
Yeah, and there's no end of little hacks online and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So there was all that kind of stuff. There's Oyster Reseeding in Dublin Bay. I met this crowd who were doing this. And they're a coffee company, but they're interested in this. They've seen how poor the Dublin Bay is around. Now they're out in Dunleary and they're out in Malahide and a few different spots, and their idea was to get the oysters back in because the oysters filter the water, they clear the water, which lets the sun come in through the water and lets growth happen in the bay,
right?
And then it just enriches the bay. So this things like that that are going on, you don't know that they're going on, but there's so many little things that are happening. Creative minds that are at work here. And I just got an awful lot of a big buzz out of it for the year, I have to say. You know, I've looked at things very differently. I started going into supermarkets going, okay, before I buy anything, how am I going to dispose of
it? Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Has it impacted
things
you directly?
Like that. Yeah, that's certainly one thing that happened fairly early on. And also, how am I going to stop throwing it? Things that are around the house, how am I going to reuse that? What will I make that into?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff that you're trying to find other uses, because it's recycling is great. And I thought once I put stuff in the blue bin, I've done my job. And recycling is fine, but reusing is really the key.
Reusing is for sure.
Recycling is better than
getting a brand new purpose from something.
Yeah, yeah. And just trying to keep things used again and again and again. Recycling is a little bit better than landfill. That's kind of the way to look at it.
Sure.
You know, it's a better option. But only a certain percentage of stuff that goes into the recycle bin will actually end up recycled. So, you know, it is looking at reuse, and that is the key. You know, looking at ways that you can reuse products and everything like that. Does recycled paint? Now, that's Rediscovery Centre. We're going to be talking to the Rediscovery Centre a little while about that.
Okay.
But it does all those kind of things. You know, there's no end of things. If you want to find out about a product, see if it can be recycled. Google it, because you'll find that most things have been recycled in some way.
That's mind-blowing. My head is spinning here.
And this is top-level paint, like whatever top-brand paint that you buy, they're using that stuff, paint that's left over. Because you know the way, like I have it
in always have something left in a
bucket. Buckets of them.
Yeah.
And you can't even open half of them anymore because they're after sealing themselves, you know. But if you gave them out to the recycle centre, now not all recycle centres take them, but if you do have one that takes them, give them the paint and they get collected by places like the Rediscovery Centre. I think there's about 8 places in the country that do it. And they'll take the paint and they'll bring it all together, bring it up to 27 different colours that they have, or 24 different colours. You'll see it on their website, mm-hmm. and they'll show you. And the paint will cost you about something like a third the amount, and it's the same quality paint. It's not cheap paint.
Right.
It's cheaper paint.
Cheaper,
but it's the same quality paint, but yeah. a very much, you know, much of a lower price. So there's stuff like that that's going on that just blows your mind.
And it's extraordinary, and it's all on our website.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Radio Nova, the IBI, and funded by Comisú na mBan with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Been doing this for a year, haven't we? Track our brain on with us for the final Ours to Protect tonight.
So it's been a long year, but I think part of it as well was to talk to people about what kind of green changes that everybody's making, because mm-hmm. I spoke earlier on about going into the supermarket and thinking, how am I going to dispose of that was the first couple of things that started changing my mind. And a lot of it is small little changes in mindset. A lot of it.
Baby steps.
Tiny little things, yeah. And you don't have to be worrying. As somebody had said to me, he says, I don't worry about the icebergs. That's beyond me. I'm just thinking about the area around me, what I'm putting into the soil, what I'm doing with my own rubbish, and that kind of stuff, do you know? Yeah. And I think it's just a great attitude if people had that in general. It'd be wonderful. So to look at, I suppose, we went out and chatted to people about what little green changes that they're making.
We are doing some work on our house. We are doing a bit of a retrofit, energy upgrades, trying to reduce the amount of fossil fuels we burn at home. And we are composting a little more. We've got our brown bin, food waste, all things like that.
Recycling and a lot more walking than driving. That'd be about it.
I bought an e-bike and I'm cycling now to work, and when I can't cycle, I use the bus.
Greenest change, I suppose, recycling more.
I'm a big advocate for electric cars, and my family recently bought an electric car. And if you do the maths, and if you do the calculations with the carbon footprint, it does work out as a lesser carbon footprint once the car is on the road. Now, that's not getting into production of batteries or anything like that, but once the car is on the road, it is a lesser carbon footprint.
Solar panels.
I think just being more, the biggest change I would have made is becoming more green conscious, making little decisions in my life, but also kind of in college, researching different things and being more aware of what actually the causes of huge carbon emissions are coming from, and being actually aware of what it is, what are the actions that we do every day that are more damaging than, say, you're just switching the light off.
So when I'm in the supermarket, I'm actively trying to pick out like the fruit and vegetables that don't have the plastic on them, and so therefore use less plastic. And the plastic in the house, I'm trying to reuse it and trying to get as much out of the bottles and the jars and the things I can.
No, wow. I think we have, in starting to grow vegetables and starting to grow fruit as well. And that has given me such joy.
Probably walking everywhere, getting the steps in, mainly because I can't afford car insurance.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Radio Nova, the IBI, and funded by Comisú na mBan with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Thoughts of many a listener out there and what they want to do to make big changes.
And it's not necessarily that people want to say, I want to make a green change so I'm good. You know, some mm-hmm. of it's just because it makes more sense. You know, it's going to save me some money.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things, as I was kind of delving into them, actually, they made a lot more sense. You're going to save money. And, you know, I suppose that was what was behind a lot of these kind of little changes. And even what the last person said there about, you know, I walk a lot more because I can't afford the car insurance at the moment, you know, but that's good. Like,
well, one of the biggest things you can do to save money is put money into your house, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's so many different things that you can do at the moment between solar panels and insulating your home better and doing all those kind of stuff, and then ending up maybe with a heat pump down the road that is the best way to heat your house and the most efficient way to heat your house. But there are there's help available for people who are thinking that's an awful lot of work or it's an awful lot of money. There is help available, and it's from the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland.
SEAI.
And people have heard about the SEAI. I say it too quickly and I roll into just about one syllable. But so I met up with Ciarán Byrne from the SEAI, and he gave us a little synopsis of the kind of help that's available.
Yeah, there's three easy steps. First of all, we say get on our website, and we have three steps. First step is to assess where you're at. That's looking at your building energy rating. In other words, that little cert that you have in the house, and if you haven't got one of those, go and get one. Their BER assessors are available on our website, and that'll tell you what the current energy performance of your home is at. The more recently done BERs also have an advisory report, which will identify additional measures you should take and the order and sequence in which you should take them.
Yeah.
So that's the assess part. You figure, where is my home at? So for example, if you're a D1 or an E or an F or a G or a B, it'll tell you that, and then it'll identify what the next steps are. The next step on our little journey is to insulate the home, because fundamentally the home is a box and you need to insulate that box to get the best energy performance. And what that means practically is, have I got attic insulation? Have I insulated the walls correctly? And can I pump the cavities? Do I need external wrap or internal insulation? So once you've got the insulation correct, we then say go to add renewables, which is solar PV and the heat pump. And the heat pump is particularly important because it's decarbonized heating. That is the direction of travel. An awful lot of homes in Ireland are heated by oil and gas boilers. We're encouraging people to decarbonize our heating because that is the direction of travel.
Mm. It's all about making the house as efficient as possible when the energy is going into it, and that's the key to it.
That is exactly it, and we have a calculation called the heat loss indicator that kind of calculates how fast heat is lost from a home. And the better insulated your home is, the warmer it stays for longer. And people notice, when you've got a well-insulated home, you put the heat on, you come down the following morning, the room is still quite warm.
Yeah.
Many of your listeners here will have a room that, as soon as they put the heat up, almost instantly it's cold. Well, then they've got a job or work to do on the insulation piece first. So you've got the assessment, getting it right in terms of that insulation piece, so you don't lose too much heat. The whole principle of the heat pump is that it puts the heat in efficiently. If you've got a leaky house, all of that hot air is going to leak out of your home, and it's going to cost a lot to run. So we need to insulate.
And then when you want to find out more information, seai.ie, that's the place to go.
That's exactly it. It's everyone's there.
Just talking about that, how many people fail to give email addresses, but no problem there.
No problem there. Yeah, it's just said at the end. So it is, when you go onto the website of the SEAI, you'll see everything there, and it's all listed about
all what
grants are available, all that kind of stuff. And it's a great resource, especially if you're ready to start making those moves. There's plenty of help out there. And I'd say as well, if you're thinking about doing it now, the longer you leave it, the less those grants are going to get, because people will start doing it, and the grants are going to dwindle. And you know, so it's a good time to move now, is what I'd say about that. But anyway, we'd mentioned earlier on, Greg, we're talking the Rediscovery Centre, and you were blown away with
the paint.
Recycled paint in particular. So with us here from the Rediscovery Centre is Rossa Cassidy. Rossa, thanks very much for joining us here
today.
How
are you? Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell us, Rossa, about the Rediscovery. Where did the concept come from? It's in Ballymun.
Yeah, so we're in Ballymun. We're the National Centre for the Circular Economy. We started back with Ballymun Regeneration when the flats were being torn down. So we're actually in the old boiler house in Ballymun. So we repurposed the boiler house. We put in a proposal and we repurposed the boiler house. Instead of it being demolished, we repurposed it. And now it's an education centre, a workshop space, a cafe, an eco store. So we changed it from what it was, basically something that was being thrown away, to something that's new and different and reused, basically, all those things.
It's energised. Like when you walk in, there's so much stuff going on when you walk around the place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been there, so I know. I got pretty excited about it. But so tell us about the different facets, because there's the clothing and there's furniture and there's the paint and there's bicycles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's such a great place. There's so many different types of people working there as well. But it's basically a mixture of artists and creators and educators all kind of coming together. We have four different departments. So there's fashion, furniture, cycling and paint. And in each of those, we kind of teach about the idea of reuse and show examples of reuse kind of in action there as well. So you were mentioning the paint as well earlier. So it's really interesting. Yeah, we recycle paint in the centre basically. So we're taking paint that's set for incineration or landfill and we're bringing it back to the centre for people to use then as well. So it's cheaper, it's better for the environment. It's just amazing. It's just a clever thing to do, do you know?
You can order quite a large amount, can't you, as well?
So they can do big batches, exactly. Yeah. They're brilliant there as well, and they can colour match, and you kind of do bespoke colours as well. So all of that paint basically, it would have been sent for incineration otherwise, but it's perfectly good for use. Brilliant paint, yeah.
Back in the day, people would have done far worse than that. They would have poured it down.
There you go.
We won't go
there.
And so,
What other services do you provide?
We also have a fashion department, so we're teaching people about fast fashion, how to repair their clothes, how to use sewing machines.
Buy new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, think a little bit differently about it, basically. Same with bikes as well. So we're taking bikes and refurbishing them, taking them basically from recycling centres and things like that, refurbishing them, send them back out for use again. And furniture as well, the same thing. So furniture, we're restoring it, bringing it back to life, and then people can use it again.
And you've various projects for schools as well. I've heard of the workshops that you have.
Schools, just to give kids
an insight into it.
Yeah, exactly. So I work in the education part myself as well, and we go around to schools nationally all over the country, and we talk about all these different topics, talk about reuse, and how we can kind of change kind of the way we're thinking and the way we're using things anyway.
I've got a niece, she's 12, and she's in school in Maynooth, and she got involved in the committee in school, and she's going around
Brilliant.
To other kids, and she said, you need to educate your parents.
Fantastic.
That's young Catherine, in case you're listening tonight.
Brilliant.
So the Rediscovery Centre is the place to go to for that. So it is literally, it's actually very easy to find because I found it.
You can't
miss not great to find it. Yeah. So you go in off the M50 in towards Ballymun and you'll see it.
Yeah,
there on your left at the bike.
A lot of people aren't really sure, you know, but if you look for the big chimney, you'll find it.
Yeah.
The big chimney, the smokestack from the old boiler house, that's still there and that's still part of the building there. So if you follow that, you'll get right to us.
And even just to look at the bikes. Because the bikes themselves, they're being sold and they're repurposed and they've got brakes and the whole thing, they're very sturdy bikes and everything like that. They're up to spec. Mm. But they're being sold at about 40% of the original price of that bike.
Wow.
And they're done up.
That's another incentive as well to get
people
on the bike.
Yeah, that's the same thing for everything in the centre, basically. The idea is that things are cheaper because they're reused, but they're even better, sometimes better quality than some of the new stuff that's been put out because it's good quality old things, you know?
And you'll find bikes there you won't find in the shop as well.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
they're very unique as well.
Bikes and stuff,
because they're made up of so many different other bikes as well. There's no bike like it.
Yeah. So they're like custom.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's brilliant stuff. Yeah. You're an address for people because people often don't.
That's
people ring you up and say, well, I heard this thing, where can I get in touch?
Yeah, you can email us at info@rediscoverycentre.ie or online as well. You can go to rediscoverycentre.ie. You can search
the website.
There. Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
Rasta, thanks very much for joining
us
today.
Thanks so much for having us.
And that's it, Greg.
That is it. That's a year.
That's it. Now, if you want to go back and listen to the stuff on the website, you'll see it's on the errorsoprotect.ie website as well as nova.ie on our Errors to Protect page, and all the episodes are there. But there's just as I said, like I'm thinking of the word in Irish now, Tommy Spragha. I'm just kind of, Greg's looking at me, what's he saying?
I'm energised
about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And just the ideas, the creativity is something that really got me addicted to the whole thing, do you know? And so it's been a great year, but there's so many little things, as we said.
Yeah.
It's just small little baby steps that everyone can make.
Everybody does.
They're all there
bit.
Available to you.
Yeah. Nova.ie, there is an Irish to Protect link and it tells you everything that we've been through over the past year. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Thank you.